Beata Soren, head teacher for the Little Lambs class of Shepherd's Glen Primary School of Bhaskar Station, led the way to the transit station. Every few steps, a quick glance behind showed her the neat crocodile of uniformed students, assistant teachers, and volunteer parent helpers. The adults wore an official tabard with Shepherd's Glen Primary School on the left and a picture of a gambling lamb on the right. In the pockets were their official IDs, their locator chips, their emergency kits. Around each adult neck, a lanyard and whistle to supplement the earpiece and mic. And the assistant teachers wore, as she did, an adult version of the school uniform, white shirt and plaid slacks. She herself held the braided end of the organizing ribbon, to which each child was supposed to cling. So far, they all had their little hands on it, but they were still almost in sight of the school. They could still be sent back to spend a boring day in the nursery class. At the station, she handed in the school's credit cube, and the file of 17 children and 10 adults moved into the loading area. This early in the trip, the children were still behaving well, though her experienced eye recognized that Poro Orinos already needed to use the toilet, and Mercy Lavinum had something sticky in her pocket and on the fingers of her left hand. She detailed her first assistant, Yuri, to deal with Poro's needs, and herself excavated the pocket, wiping Mercy's fingers carefully as she did so. Mercy's mother, it seemed, could never resist sending her youngest out without a personal treat, even when it was strictly forbidden. Yuri came back just in time, and the crocodile edged its way on board the Transgrav tram that would take them on a tour all around the station. They had a reserved car, and each child was properly buckled into the seat, a motion sickness patch in place, before the tram slid away from the station, one car entirely full of little lambs and their keepers. Beata had run this same field trip 11 times before. She knew from experience how to plan the route to provide the most in thrills, education, and efficiency. First, the slow part, through the densely populated shopping and residential district.
Look, that's where I live. That's my store. Mommy gets bread there.
Then, as the tram swung away on the first of the Transgrav segments, Beata gestured for quiet.
Children, we're going to go oopsie. Everyone remember to breathe and hold on.
The tram gathered speed and the lights blinked three times, a final warning of transition. Safety bars swung down in front of each seat. Beata took this opportunity to insert her earplugs. Then the tram plunged into the dark and Beata's body tried to insist it had just fallen off a cliff. Gravity returned gradually, but not to normal. Heavy cargo, their first stop, maintained only 0.25G. The tram emerged from a dark tunnel into a vast, lighted cavern. Beata flicked out her earplugs with a practiced twitch and picked up her microphone.
Attention, children! This is the cargo servicing area for most incoming shipments. Bri, your father works in heavy cargo, doesn't he?
Bri, halfway down the car on the right, nodded.
Well? This is where he works.
I've been here before. He took me.
Yes, Bri, but the others haven't. Please pay attention. When we come to the station, you'll be able to see, out Bri's side, the exit hatches of the container transport system and the tracks of the transport system itself. If we're very lucky, you'll get to see a line of cargo containers coming through.
The tram slowed for the cargo handler station, and sure enough, huge colored bins butted through the heavy curtains at the hatches and trundled along their assigned tracks.
The optical sensors read the coding on the labels, and there's a cross-check by color coding from another set of sensors. This allows the AI system to route each individual bin where it should go.
Where's my daddy?
Beata should have known. She should have made sure that Bri's father was in sight for this brief stop.
Working somewhere. I really don't know for sure.
There he is!
Beata wasn't at all sure the orange-suited figure running a scanner along the markings on a cargo bin was Bri's father, but if it made him happy, her breath caught. as someone in a tan ship suit stepped out and hit the orange-suited one over the head. The top of the bin lifted, and 4, 8, 12 more tan-suited men crawled out. The orange-suited one lay motionless on the floor.
Somebody hit him! He's hurt! My daddy's hurt!
I'm sure he's not, dear.
Experience made her look quickly out the other side of the car for something to distract the children before her brain had finished processing what she saw.
Look! Look at all the funny little cars they run around on!
It was too late to wish she hadn't done that, because all the children except Bri had turned obediently and had a clear view of the firefight as the passengers on the funny little cars attacked first the workers on the floor and then drove right up to the tram. The other adults stared at Beata with white faces.
Now, children, there's nothing to cry about. Just a little bump. Stay seated, please. Mag, would you help Bri calm down? And CV, you see to Crowder.
The adults responded, and by the time the man with the obvious weapon opened the car door, the children were all sitting quietly, listening to Beata tell the story of the brown bunny and the spotted snake.
Oh, shit! There's children on this tram!
We don't use that sort of language.
Beata recognized the man's accent from newscasts over the past 2 years. The muzzle opening on his weapon looked big enough to swallow the tram, but she made herself look at his face.
Please do not upset the children.
Just stay there.
The man backed out. Beata had no intention of doing anything else.
The Serrano Legacy, Change of Command, is continued on the next CD.